Ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, and we will be reading verses 4 through 14. Verses 4 through 14. Amen. There you will find these words. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. That I have, amen, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will give you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. If we haven't learned anything through this year, through these past 2 years, I hope that we've learned this critical lesson. There is purpose for your pain. Amen. Amen. Please, God bless you as you take your seats. Don't allow all that we've been through in this year, amen, to not teach us a lesson. And one of the lessons that I know that I have learned through all of this is that God has a purpose for our pain. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And Father, we pray that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, O God. A word that will remind us that you are God and God alone. We thank you and we give you praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there is a purpose for your pain. Amen. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar was known to be one of the greatest kings of antiquity. His fame was known all over the ancient world. Bible history reminds us of his power in the case where the king of Judah, Zedekiah, broke his allegiance with Nebuchadnezzar and sided with Egypt, one of Babylon's greatest enemies. And because of that, historians tell us that Nebuchadnezzar's armies besieged the city of Jerusalem and captured Zedekiah. He was brought to Nebuchadnezzar and his sons were slain before his eyes. I'm trying to show you how bad Nebuchadnezzar was. And as if it wasn't enough to kill Zedekiah's sons in front of him, we learn that Zedekiah was then blinded, bound, and then taken captive to Babylon. The temple was looted and burned. The city walls were dismantled, and the city was plundered and razed. The leading people of the nation were either killed or taken into captivity. Y'all, Nebuchadnezzar was a great military leader. But not only was he known for his great military prowess, he was also known for his monumental building activities in Babylon. As a matter of fact, you've probably heard of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. They were claimed to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He built the Hanging Gardens to calm his wife's pain from missing her homeland. So here it is, Nebuchadnezzar was known by others as a great and mighty king, but not only that, he thought of himself as a great and mighty king. Don't you hear him? Amen. He voiced his pride when he declared. He said, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? You know, it's one thing for folk to say you're great, but you take on a whole nother level of pride and attitude when you start, amen, filling your own self, amen. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, I know I'm great because I've done great and mighty things. And yet in spite of his perceived greatness, in spite of his great conquest of Jerusalem, the holy city of God, the text says in verse 4, look at it in verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar's talking about how great he is, but look at verse 4, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, here it is, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Don't y'all hear God saying, yeah, Nebuchadnezzar's bragging about how mighty he is, about how great he is, about how he's captured the city of Jerusalem. But God says, hold up, wait a minute. Amen. I am the one that caused my people to be taken captive into Babylon. That tells me that even though I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar was walking around with his chest stuck out, thinking that in his awesome power he had conquered the city of God and taken captive the people of God, the truth of the matter is that God is the only one who is large and in charge. Do I have a witness today? This is why, my brothers and sisters, it's important for you to be on the Lord's side. Amen. It's important to have God in your life. Amen. It's important to be in church and to be a part of the kingdom of God because it guarantees that whatever may happen in your life, it has to first get God's stamp of approval. And is there anybody here who knows that God will not put more on you? I know I ought to at least have one or two witnesses. The fact that you're here this morning tells us that God will not put more on you than you can bear. You ought to give him praise. If you don't believe me, just ask. Ask those three captives of Nebuchadnezzar. Ask Shadrach. Ask Meshach. Ask Abednego. The Bible record is that Nebuchadnezzar had built a huge statue which was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and failure to worship that statue would cause you to end up in fire. And you Bible readers know we're not talking about just any kind of fire. This fire was reported to be hotter than any fire known to man. However, these three compatriots of Daniel refused, and they were thrown into a furnace from which the Lord delivered them unhurt. Come on, give God praise in this place. I would rather be on the Lord's side, because when you're on the Lord's side, here it is, here are my 3 points. When you're on the Lord's side, these three things will invariably always happen for you. Number one, tell your neighbor, God will prosper you in your problem. Oh my. Somebody needs just a moment to reflect on some problems you've had just this year. Somebody needs to reflect on some problems you've had this month. Somebody needs to reflect on a problem you're having right now. And yet in the midst of your problem, you have learned, like the children of Israel, that God will prosper you. Watch this, in your problem. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Look at it, verse 5. He tells them, "Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased." Here it is, there. Come on, tell your neighbor, there. And not diminished. So many times in life, my brothers and sisters, we get stuck in anxiety and depression because we're more interested in finding out why we have a problem than we are in trusting the God who's able to handle our problems. Am I by myself? Come on. How many times is it that you find yourself in some mess? You find yourself in a situation and you're scratching your head asking God, why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? Instead of just trusting the God, amen, who's able to handle your problems. Is there anybody here who knows he can handle it? Whatever it is, whatever name you call it, whatever degrees it has, whatever face it wears, God can handle your problems. So many times we get stuck. The Bible is replete with situations and circumstances where men and women of God found themselves in a dilemma, and many of them, like us, I'm sure, questioned God as to why me, Lord. Can I use my sanctified imagination? I just imagine that maybe Adam asked God, "God, why did you place me in the garden with a snake?" I just imagine with my sanctified imagination that Eve probably asked God, "Why didn't you let Adam rescue me from that deceptive snake?" I just imagine with my sanctified imagination that Abraham must have asked God, "Why did you wait so long before you let me have a child?" Y'all know how we do. We're full of questions. Instead of just trusting God, instead of just leaning and depending on him, we have question after question, "Lord, why me?" I just imagine that Joseph must have asked God, "Why did you take so long to move me from the pit to the palace?" I just imagine that Job had to ask God, "God, why did you pick me out to be picked on?" I just imagine that Jeremiah had to ask God, "God, why did you call me to preach to people who don't want to listen?" Full of questions. We're always asking God questions, but I have come by on this Sunday morning to remind you that God will give you purpose even in your pain. You ought to give him praise today. He will prosper you in your problem. There are times when we have questions about our situations and circumstances, but I have come by this morning to encourage you to stop asking so many questions and just trust God, because he's able to prosper you in your problem. He told the children of Israel, "I know you're in captivity. I know you're in a strange land, but don't stop living. Go on and build houses. Go on and plant gardens. Go on and get married and have children." And he says, "Be increased." Watch this. "Not after you come out. Not after you come through." But God says, "Be increased there in the midst of your pain, there in the midst of your problem, there in the midst of the pandemic. Don't let nothing stop you from living, because as long as God keeps waking you up, there is another chance for you to give him praise. There's another opportunity for you to worship him. And you may not have money in your bank account, but we don't worship him for what he's done. We worship him because of who he is, because he is Jehovah Jireh, because he is our provider, because he is Jehovah Nissi. Is there anybody here today in the midst of problems, but you're willing to give God some praise? When you realize that the devil wants to defeat you, but you also realize that he can do no more than the Lord allows, it ought to change your attitude. It ought to put some pep in your step. But Tracy, ought to put some glide in your slide. I don't care what the problem is. It may be that your money is funny and your change is strange. It may be that the doctors have given you a bad report. It may be something that you blame yourself for because you were disobedient or hard-headed. But when you're on the Lord's side, you may have to suffer. But even in your suffering, God can prosper you. God can prosper you in the midst of your problem. But not only that, not only will God prosper you in your problem, but the second thing I want to leave you this morning, the second lesson that you ought to have learned in 2021 is that God will give you peace in the process. I know I'm right about it. Verse 7, look at verse 7. Verse 7, it says, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it." Pray for the city. "For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." Now, to fully understand this text, you have to know that there were preachers and so-called prophets who were telling the people of God, don't get comfortable in Babylon, because God is going to come quickly and deliver us out of here. Yeah, there were folk, amen, y'all know how folk, the Lord that told me to tell you. The Lord, yeah. And people get on Facebook talking about, the Lord told me to tell you, this is going to be your year of abundance, and this is going to be year, the Lord ain't told you nothing. Amen. Because if the Lord says it, come on, how many of you know, it shall come to pass. But there were these preachers and prophets telling the folk who were in captivity in Babylon, don't build a house, don't plant any gardens. Amen. Just keep your bags packed. Amen. Don't even unpack your suitcase. You know, when you go into some hotels and even on the cruise, you know, you go in there. And I used to wonder why they had drawers and closets and all of that, because, you know, I've still got the bachelor spirit. I can live out of a suitcase for a whole week. Amen. But I figured out that some people, when they get on the ship, they unpack their luggage, Brother Babino. They put their stuff in the drawers and in the closets and all. No, leave my suitcase over there, and I can live out of it. Amen. And so there were these prophets and preachers telling them, don't even unpack your bags, because God is going to deliver us quickly out of here. Now, if I were Jewish, I would really, you know, I can understand why they would believe that. Because when you read the Bible, you know that God has a record of delivering Israel. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. They had a long history of seeing God intervene on their behalf. He did it when Moses led them out of Egypt. He did it when God sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness. He did it when they crossed the Jordan River. God intervened for them when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. God intervened for them when they conquered the Promised Land. When Gideon defeated the Midianites. When Samson defeated the Philistines. When Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. When David defeated Goliath. When Jehoshaphat defeated the Ammonites. But God says, these people who are telling you to not get comfortable in Babylon because I'm going to bring you out quickly, they are not speaking for me. They prophesy falsely to you in my name. You see, God had already made up his mind. Y'all going to be here 70 years. Because of their hard-headedness, because of their disobedience, amen, he was going to not allow them to be taken captive, but they would be there for an extended period of time. So you can imagine for those who were listening to these false prophets, they weren't making any plans to bunker down and make this place home. But God said 70 years. That's how long you're going to be here. So instead of looking around for deliverer, just go on and treat this new place like home. God will give you peace in the process. I heard somebody on CNN saying the other day that much of what we have experienced in 2020 and 2021, they're calling it the new normal. You know, most of us have been saying, Lord, I'll be glad when COVID is over. Lord, I'll be glad when we get our voting rights together. God, I'll be glad when this happens and when that happens. But a lot of the analysts are saying that what we're looking at may be a new normal. And I'm telling you that not to discourage you, my brother, not to discourage you, my sister. I'm telling you that because I want you to know that even if this is the new normal, God is able to give you peace in the process. Come on, where are my folk who figured out, amen, even in the midst of COVID, I'm going to sleep at night. Even with Russia, amen, on the borders of the Ukraine, and we don't know what will happen tomorrow, where are my folk who've made up in your mind, I'm going to sleep at night. And if I'm not careful, I will go to sleep in the daytime watching the television because I know that God sits high. He looks low. Whatever's happening, come on, nudge your neighbor and tell him God's got it. God's got it. Come on, come on. Tell him he'll give you peace in the process. Blew my mind. God says to them, the only way you're going to have peace is you've got to pray that your captors and this place of captivity will have peace. I told y'all a few Sundays ago that you shall reap what you sow. Matthew 5, the Bible says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that talk about you and lie on you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In other words, what the Lord is telling us is that if I want peace, I've got to pray that you have peace. Oh, y'all getting quiet right through there. Because you know we want it, but we don't want our enemies to have it. But God says, if you want it, amen, you need to be praying that your... And come on, how many of you pray for your enemies? Oh, if you want money, you ought to pray for God to bless your enemies. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. So God says, in essence, the way for you to have peace is to pray that your enemies have peace. God will give you peace in the process. Y'all, there are times when God will speak peace to your storm. But sometimes God speaks peace to your spirit in the midst of the storm. Yeah, I want him. I want him to calm every storm that I'm in. But sometimes God says, no, I'm going to let you ride that storm out. But what I'll do in the midst of the storm is give you peace. Come on, somebody ought to praise God for peace. In the midst of the storm, God will prosper you in your problem. God will give you peace in the process. But then finally, God has a plan for your provision. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Verse 11. Listen to what God says. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. See, some of y'all are so worried about what other folk think about you. God says that he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me. And ye shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me. Here it is. With all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again. Let me hear you say again. Come on, he did it before. He'll do it again. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Remember that these words were spoken to a displaced, defeated, depressed group of exiles. They had hung, the Bible says, over in the book of Psalms. They asked the question, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The record is that they had hung their harps on the willow trees and they had lost their song. Can I pause here parenthetically and tell you that no matter what happens in your life, don't let the devil steal your song. No matter what you're going through, let me tell you, don't let the devil steal your praise. Don't ever let anything cause you to lose your song. Remember that God has empowered Judah's enemies to take them captive, but yet God says, be hopeful because I've got plans for you. My brothers and sisters, God never leaves his people without hope. For I know the plans I have for you. Most of you are probably familiar with the double-blind method used to test pharmaceuticals. Most of us are pharmaceutical experts now, as we've watched the FDA and the CDC, amen, approve drugs and fast-track drugs and all of that. Well, they use what is called a double-blind method. The doctors don't even know which is the true drug and which is what they call the placebo. The inert or controlled drug. The double-blind method has become standard practice in testing drugs because one incredible phenomenon, they figured out, amen, years ago that something was happening before they started using the double-blind method. They figured out that sometimes they would give folk a medicine and it wasn't the real medicine, but because they said this is the real medicine, they found out that it worked anyway. And the reason it worked, they figured out, is because of what we call human hope. How many of you know there's power when you still have hope? I tell you, there's power when you got hope. As a matter of fact, before double-blind testing, almost all new drugs displayed some results regardless of their chemical content. Researchers were astounded to find that even the way the doctor talked about a drug was a key factor in a new drug's success. Even a smile, or maybe the voice of the doctor or the nurse, maybe their demeanor, the doctor could unknowingly convey confidence and hope in the patient that would contribute to the patient's improvement. That's why you've got to be careful who you let come in your hospital room. When you get sick and when you're in trouble, you need to be careful who you listen to. You need to be careful who you let come pray for you. You need to be careful who you let lay hands on you. Because, amen, I remember when I was in Rapids for those 2 weeks when they didn't know what that thing was they found in the x-ray in my chest. They didn't know what it was. So before they could do the biopsy, I had to be off of aspirin for a little while. Amen. But I was there and I knew I was going to be all right. I didn't want anybody coming in there praying over me, talking about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. No, you need to find the exit. Amen. You got to be careful who you let pray for you. You got to be careful who you let counsel you. You got to be careful who you let minister to you. Come on, is there anybody here who knows that there's power in hope? There is so much evidence in the medical field and in every other realm about the power of hope. Open heart surgery patients are far more likely to die after surgery if they experience depression. Hope cannot be easily taught, but it seems that it can be easily caught. While you're trying to figure it out, you need to know God has already worked it out. Yes, God prospered them in their problem. God gave them peace in the process. But most importantly, my brothers and sisters, God gave them provisions for their pain. And what God provided for them that was able to sustain them and keep them through the pain and through the process of captivity was something called hope. Many of you remember Jesse Jackson. He had this mantra. He had this slogan that he used everywhere he went. He would say, keep hope alive. Because as long as you have hope, I've come by to tell you, you can make it. Y'all, I absolutely despise soap operas. Not because I think anything is intrinsically wrong with soap operas. It's just that they're not for